Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Sydney's Parramatta City Council has announced the launch of Landmark First Nations Strategy. The strategy will be aimed at improving access for First Nations people to public services and programs, grant funding and ensuring they have greater input in the decision-making process. It will also build on efforts to acknowledge and celebrate the rich history of the Darug community while respecting their culture. City of Parramatta Lord Mayor Councillor Pierre Espar says the strategy is about putting the Darug and First Nations people at the heart of the council. Assistant Minister of Indigenous Affairs Malandiri McCarthy has attended a historic congregation of the Australian Indigenous Doctors Association in Western Australia. The group of Indigenous doctors came together to hear from elders about the remote health experiences of First Nations people. Elders have made a call to the doctors to return to country following the end of their studies to provide culturally safe essential services. Ms. McCarthy told the ABC it is the doctors' decision if they choose to work elsewhere.
For First Nations people, whether they're doctors, nurses, paediatricians, it is about the choice to be able to return home should they wish to do so, or their ability to go where they feel they are needed. And what I found listening to the elders of the Torres Straits working with these Torres Strait doctors was that they were welcoming them home, would certainly love to see some of them return to the Torres Strait to work as doctors full time, but also conscious of the fact that we still need more resourcing to be able to do that. But I have no doubt that many of those doctors will be returning to the Torres Strait.
The Premier of Victoria, Jacinta Allen, is set to give evidence in a historic appearance before the state's Indigenous truth-telling inquiry. Ms. Allen's participation in a public hearing of the Yurok Justice Commission marks the first time an Australian head of state will appear in a formal truth-telling inquiry. In the lead-up to her appearance, the Premier has reiterated her government's commitment to treaty negotiations. Yurok is the country's first formal truth-telling inquiry and investigates past and present injustices against First Nations people in the state. The Anglican Church has admitted to a Victorian inquiry there is an incredible disparity between its land wealth and First Nations people in the state. Representatives from the Anglican, Catholic and Uniting Churches on Wednesday fronted the Yurok Justice Commission in Melbourne. During the hearing, it was revealed the Anglican Church's property trust holds an estimated 260 hectares of land in Victoria, worth around $1.5 billion. Commissioner Tony North-Casey noted the commission was only able to ask the Anglican Church about its land ownership figures because the Uniting and Catholic Churches applied to keep their figures confidential. He said there was a shattering silence from churches about what they were doing to right historic injustices against Indigenous Victorians.
We come here today on probably the last day hearing evidence from conscience leaders of our society and again, the same acceptance of the truth about the past, but again, and in fact more so, a shattering silence about actions to redress it.
Prime Minister Anthony Albanese visited local organisations in Alice Springs this week, roughly a fortnight after the three-week youth curfew came to an end. Authorities say the curfew was an attempt to curb a surge in violence in the town, which was triggered after an 18-year-old was killed in a car crash. The Prime Minister spoke at Centralian Senior College in Alice Springs and says the feedback he's had from community is that the curfew was an enormous success.
And it seems to me it really has provided that circuit breaker.
Yes.
Just like last year, the decision that was made about alcohol was positive as well, had a positive impact. We need to not be ideological about this. We need to look at what works.
Yes.
And if it works, we're up for it. It's as simple as that.
Police ministers and first law officers from across Australia will meet to try to address the gender-based violence crisis. Attorney General Mark Dreyfus will host his state and territory counterparts in Canberra to determine what extra steps are needed to stop violence against women. Improved data sharing between jurisdictions about high-risk perpetrators will be on the agenda, as well as potential changes to bail laws. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese says the government's plans to crack down on misogynistic content online to reduce violence against women will not limit free speech. Leaders agreed to a pilot of age verification to stop children from accessing harmful online material, such as pornography, following a national cabinet meeting on gendered violence. An ad campaign will also be rolled out from June that will challenge misogynistic attitudes towards women on online platforms. The Prime Minister told the ABC that online content with harmful views about women can be highly influential on young people.
You have a debate at times about, you know, freedom of information and those issues, free speech. This isn't free speech to promote hatred and violence misogyny. We need to have that debate as a society as well.
The US State Department is urging Hamas to accept the latest proposal for a ceasefire in Gaza. Hamas says it's sending a delegation to Cairo to continue ceasefire talks. US State Department spokesman Matthew Miller says the proposal on the table answers many of the demands that Hamas made in previous rounds of negotiations.
Israel made a significant offer in this last proposal that went forward. They compromised on many long-held positions that they had taken. And as I said, met many of the demands that Hamas had said they needed to agree to a deal. So we believe it's now incumbent upon them to take the deal. The deal that they demanded, that has been offered, they should accept and move forward. It is Hamas that is the only barrier to a ceasefire right now, an immediate ceasefire, and we are waiting their response.
Meanwhile, the economic impact of the conflict in Gaza has been revealed to be enormous. The United Nations Development Programme says the costs are increasingly exponential with each day that the conflict continues, and that reconstructing Gaza is already likely to cost between $60 and $75 billion. Grocery food giant Woolworths has reported a slight increase in its domestic food sales in the last quarter after a small drop in prices. The supermarket chain says Australian food sales showed an increase of 1.5% to $12.6 billion, with price averages falling by 0.2%. In total, Woolworths has reported a 2.8% profit across its entire network, which includes its New Zealand supermarkets and Big W stores. Woolworths Group Chief Executive Officer Brad Banducci says cost of living challenges have been affecting the shopping basket of all Australians. Pioneering Aboriginal musician Bart Willoughby says he feels tremendous joy at being recognised with his latest award. The Pitjantjatjara and Mirning singer-songwriter, aged 63, is the 2024 recipient of the Ted Albert Award for Outstanding Services to Australian Music. Previous winners include Paul Kelly, Slim Dusty, The Seekers, Cold Chisel, and the late Uncle Archie Roach. A member of the Stolen Generations, he says music was his escape. Bart Willoughby was the lead singer and drummer for No Fixed Address, the first Aboriginal band to score a record deal, tour overseas, and appear on Countdown. He told NITV he is stoked to join the ranks of accomplished and legendary songwriters and musicians.
And so music is actually mending me. And so music's not music. Music is a living entity. For me to fall in love with it, you think deep about music. It's mathematics, it's affinity. You're dealing with all the big questions that scientists are asking using numbers. You just got music, and it can be just as powerful.
The book Praiseworthy by Aboriginal author Alexis Wright has emerged as the winner of this year's Stella Prize Awards. The awards recognise literary excellence by women, with six shortlisted novels being awarded $4,000 each. Ms. Wright's work, which also won the Queensland Literary Award, takes on many difficult issues such as climate change and its effects on the Indigenous community. During her speech for receiving the prize, the author said she was humbled to be listed among so many other great Australian book writers. And in NRL, the Penrith Panthers have defeated the South Sydney Rabbitohs 42-12. It's the first game the Rabbitohs have played since former South Sydney coach Jason Demetrio was sacked earlier this week. Interim coach Ben Hornby is filling in until Wayne Bennett takes over the position next year. The Rabbitohs' Jai Gray suffered a syndesmosis injury, ending the game in a moon boot. Cameron Murray says there was a lot of fatigue in their defensive line, adding that it's been a tough week and they're focusing on moving forward.
You know, it's not ideal circumstances, so I'm not going to sit here and lie and say it was easy, but in saying that, it probably wasn't as hard as everyone thinks it was. At the end of the day, we're footy players and it's about, you know, the men in the change room and us turning up as a group and teammates and just trying to go out there and be good teammates and make good memories out there and play for your mates. So,
and that is NITV Radio's news wrap of the week.